You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 182, Yellowdig, interview with Chinook Roy. My music clip this time is a little different. I usually don't play jazz, but this one caught my eye. It's called Ipanema Daydream by Bird Creek. So enjoy it and listen to the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. So my topic today is an interview with Chinook Roy, CEO and founder of Yellowdig. Now, what is Yellowdig? Quote, "It's more than a discussion board. Yellowdig meets students where they are, making engagement effortless and natural throughout the entire student life cycle," end quote. So we discuss Mr. Roy's background, the company's story, how they reinvented the discussion board. We talk about OER-based peer-driven discussions, gamified discussion, and how they do immediate automated engagement scoring. It should be very interesting to faculty. In terms of the integration, they are LMS agnostic. They use LTI integration. And we also learn about why the Yellowdig name. So without further ado, here is my interview with Chinook Roy. Chinook, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really anxious to learn about Yellowdig. First, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and your little bit about your history and how you got involved with this company.
Sure. So glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I'm super excited to talk about Yellowdig. I mean, I always love to talk about it, but kind of, you know, let's see where this conversation goes today. My background, I grew up in India. I did my undergrad from IIT. Indian Institute of Technology in Bombay. Worked there for a few years, then wanted to kind of see the world. Came to the U.S., did my master's from MIT, and then kind of, you know, followed the corporate world. I kind of spent about 10 years working for various companies and consulting companies, and then founded Yellowdig back in 2014, officially launched in 2015. And I've been doing that since then.
So do you still consider yourself a startup, or are you well on your way? Are you
always a startup?
Always a startup.
Always a startup, because doesn't matter how big we grow. I mean, you know, my passion is to build. I love building. I love solving problems. And I don't want to lose that.
Now, what made you decide to produce or to found this particular company? What problem did you want to solve?
So, you know, when I was in my prior life, I had a job as a consultant, as a management consultant with Booz Allen Hamilton. And I was, as I was kind of going about my life, I could see how I was learning and living my life, you know, about like 7-8 years out of my graduate studies from MIT. And I could see that, you know, the way I was learning is quite different from the way I was actually learning when I was in grad school. To give you an example, you know, when I would typically as a consultant, you would go to clients and they will ask you a question. Like, question could be something like, tell me about this industry, or tell me about Bitcoin, or tell me about something and how I should solve that problem. How would I take advantage of this trend for my business? The way we will address that is I will go back to my computer and I'll search in Google. Right? I mean, that's the first thing I'll do, right? Because you have this massive database called Google, which is like full of all sorts of information. And I learn about it as quickly as possible. Like, look at videos, read about articles, talk, you know, think about other companies that are solving that kind of problem, what challenges they're facing, what's the technology, how mature is the technology, all sorts of things. And then I'll ask my smartest friends, like, say, hey, you know, do you know about this? Have you done any projects about it? And collect all that data and then kind of go to my client and present that. And I was thinking that if this is how I am learning now, which is from all sorts of free resources from all over the internet, connecting with my smartest peers and looking at all sorts of, you know, resources, you know, from my peers, why is this not being done at scale? And can this be done at scale? I mean, that was actually the big question in my mind. And, you know, back in 2014, when I was thinking about it, I mean, Facebook went public. If you remember that day, I mean, there was a day people were questioning if social media, which is kind of known for bringing resources from all over the world, keeping connecting people from all over the world and kind of really making it an engaging experience, is this going to be mainstream one day? And I think we got an answer for that when Facebook went public. And I was thinking like, hey, if this is where the world is heading, can I build something which is in that domain, like in that framework, but applies to learning? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I got excited about it. And that's, I mean, that was the start of Yellowdig.
Now, I have to ask you, when you were in school, did you have a learning management system? Or were the classes more just lecturing and paper?
We did have one, but I never used it.
You never used it?
Never. I mean, literally, it was so funny. When I started getting back into this education space, I started learning about learning management system. And I said, okay, when I was at MIT, what LMS did we use?
Right.
And I found one. There was one being used, but I never... Probably I've been there a couple of times.
So your faculty weren't using it either. They didn't make you use it.
Probably. Maybe some of them are using it, but not to the extent that I was really engaged with it.
Right. And for the most part, at least in the past, the LMS has been pretty much a container for content, for, you know, and maybe a discussion board or two. And then, you know, I did take a peek at your website and a while back, I looked at it. A friend of mine mentioned your company. And the other thing that stood out to me was better than a discussion board. So tell me how I'm wrong.
You're right.
Reinventing the discussion board?
In a way, we are. In a micro sense, if you think about a classroom today, what happens is that you have an instructor, a professor, teacher, kind of has their curated content. Right, they're kind of pushing it to the students as a starter of discussions. Then there are assignments and grades and many other things. So within a classroom, if you're using Yellowdig today, I mean, we have over 300,000 learners who are using Yellowdig on a daily basis. What you will find is that we are replacing the discussion board and replacing with a lot more organic, lot more OER, like open online resource driven discussion, where, you know, students are bringing in content from all over the web. They're being incentivized to actually have discussions with one another as opposed to the instructor, which typically happens in learning management system discussion boards. So that's kind of, you know, at a very micro sense, that's what we are doing. At a macro level, what we're trying to do is that we're trying to pivot the whole concept around, you know, learning happens through conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, in our world, of course, the instructor plays a very central role to kind of curate that conversation. But a big portion of the conversation needs to happen from, you know, student to student, to peer, because people have a lot to say. We're trying to kind of change that paradigm to bring in a lot more peer-driven learning experience, which does not quite happen, I would say, in a lot of classrooms today.
Right. I mean, certainly in undergraduate, eons ago when I was in undergrad, there was not much a conversation. You had the sage on the stage, and that was it. And
that's
it was
right.
One way. Graduate school, you tend to, especially smaller seminar classes, that's where you really get into the conversation. And, you know, I don't think the learning ever really happened in the lecture.
That's right.
It happens outside. It happens talking to fellow students. So it seems like that's you're trying to leverage peer learning, which certainly I think you see other projects doing that as well.
That's absolutely right. And I'll tell you a couple of things. One is that as we are seeing non-traditional learners becoming a big portion of our student body that we are catering, you know, I was looking at some statistics that almost like 60 to 70% of graduate learners are non-traditional. What it means is that they have jobs. That average age is a lot higher. Like, I think the average age is almost like 33 right now.
Wow.
Which is quite different from when I was 26, when I went to MIT. So think about a 33-year-old. I mean, they already have one or two careers. They have a job. They may have a family. They have a lot to offer.
And they've used social media, so they know what that's all about.
They know what that's all about. And they can bring so much more than just kind of sitting in a classroom or kind of, you know, being taught as opposed to kind of really contributing and being more active. So I think what we are seeing is that in our client base, a lot of these institutions that are going after this non-traditional learners. They want to have them engaged in the learning process. That's where I think we are seeing a lot of success. For the undergrad population, I think one thing that we are noticing is that a lot of these undergrads who are getting into the schools, they do not have actual work experience. You know, they're you know, studying engineering, like mechanical, or they're studying health sciences or any other field. It's getting increasingly important for them to really connect with the real world, like what kind of jobs they're going to take. I mean, after like three or 4 years of studies, but they don't quite yet have that experience, right? So a good way to kind of impact that is to by bringing in like real life examples into their learning process, which can happen if the learning is a lot more peer driven, where people can find examples like, hey, I'm taking my, you know, finance 101, but I'm already talking about articles in Wall Street where, you know, all these things like Bitcoin or, you know, blockchain, all these things are coming up. I want to know about it so that when I graduate, at least I have examples that I can talk about.
Now, how does that help the, I can see where the, you know, a good student is going to want to do that, but how about the instructor? How does your product help to facilitate that from the instructor's point of view? Is there something that, I almost hate to say it, to use artificial intelligence to go out and suggest topics, or can you say?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, AI, we are using some analysis, but I would say that we don't put AI in front of the students because we always believe AI can be empowering the instructors as opposed to like replacing them in any sense. So we actually, what we are finding is that a lot of instructors who are, you know, who are trying to connect with their learners, like let's say in classroom or in any online environment, engaging learners in a platform that they are already familiar with, like social media, like lots of students already use social media in their regular life. So kind of having that kind of a platform in the learning environment helps because the learning curve is very short. You know, as soon as you launch Yellowdig, you go to Yellowdig, you know what to do. You don't have to be taught about, hey, you have to do this. I mean, you know that I have to go and find things and, you know, have discussions with my peers. So that helps from an instruction standpoint. The other thing that helps is what we find is that a lot of instructors, you know, end up spending a huge amount of time, you know, grading discussion posts.
Right.
You know, which is good in a sense because, you know, of course, there is a qualitative aspect that the feedback is helpful for students. But a lot of the time there is like, you know, if you take like if you reduce that load and actually give them more time where students can already have conversations in a very natural sense, but instructors can jump in and kind of add more value-added discussions, like, you know, saying something like, hey, we love this discussion about this topic, but have you thought about this topic from this perspective? You know, there is this resource that's available. You should probably take a look at it. It might be, you know, kind of, you know, expand your, like, you know, thinking in this area. That's where instructors don't have time because they're so caught up into kind of really managing the processes. So what we are trying, what we do in Yellowdig, by the way, we have gamification. So one of the ways it works is that, you know, there are points that are awarded to students just for participating. So you come in and you bring in an article and contribute into a discussion, you get points for that. How much points you earn for that is actually, you know, the instructors can decide. So it's all customizable. You might get 1 point, you might get 10 points, depending on your posting or commenting with a link, you're writing 20 words or 50 words. There are various ways you can actually design a rubric. That's what we do. But the points are automatic. So as soon as the students are coming and engaging, they're earning points. The instructors can actually move that needle by giving badges or taking back points. So there is some kind of, you know, control in place, but it's very easy control. So as a result, what happens is that the instructors are not spending and reading every post and comment. They're actually going in there. They're looking at like the, okay, it seems like the discussion in the right direction. Maybe this comment should not be earning points. They can take back the points. The students will be they will know that privately that, hey, you posted something that wasn't to the point. That's why I didn't give you points. Next time, do a better job. So that kind of feedback is possible through a point system. But we have done studies now, and where we find is that the instructor is spending like 1/5 of the time they were spending in managing discussion boards.
Faculty would like that.
That's exactly. So they love it. And, you know, honestly, I mean, I think there's a huge opportunity for faculties who really want to engage with students to actually have conversations.
Yeah.
Like kind of really guiding their, you know, kind of thought process in a certain direction, as opposed to like saying that, hey, you got 5 out of 10 and really have an argument about that. I mean, that's kind of we want to kind of move away from.
Right. Well, you hear more and more about gamification and game-based learning. Most LMSs have a way to, you know, assign a grade, but it usually happens after the fact. Are these points like almost available almost immediately when they do
immediately.
Something?
That's right.
So they get media feedback, which is good. Yeah.
That's right. So they're getting feedback. They get to see how their engagement scores, we call it engagement scores, are going up within YellowDig as well as, you know, Gradebook and Learning Management System. We actually pass back those points. So they know where they are. And if something, there's a change, for example, the instructor went in and changed some of the points because the quality did not probably match up, or you posted something that was amazing. Like we see some instructors are actually using their badges to go and say, hey, so-and-so, hey, Sam, you posted this article from this source, and that was amazing thinking, and that really moved the discussion forward. Everybody gets to see that. It's kind of a celebration, like saying, hey, Sam got a badge, and Sam will know immediately my instructor loved it. You know, my three of my peers loved it, and because they also can like up the post and they get points for that as well. But yeah. My instructor came in and gave me like a 10-point badge, which only the instructor can give.
Right.
So we
right.
create these kind of psychological motivators, which drives engagement
right,
up.
Right. Right. I got it. I think I got it. I mean, it sounds pretty cool. I'm wondering how long it's going to be before you get a big offer from an LMS to buy you, or they're going to duplicate something about, you know, that you have already done. Do you have fears about that, or is that something that you're going to license to other LMSs? Or
we already work with learning management systems, just so that, you know, we are learning management system agnostic.
Okay.
So we integrate with all the leading LMSs out there today.
LTI integration?
It's LTI integrated. Out of the box, we do API integration with other platforms, like which does not support LTI. Mm-hmm. We launched our new product that can be integrated with other kind of non-LMS type platforms like Salesforce.
Okay.
So, for example, if you want to build learning communities for your incoming students, you know, and you're managing them through Salesforce or some sort of other portal systems, mm-hmm. You can integrate YellowDig right into those environments through our API integrations. Wow. And to address your point, like, you know, I mean, a couple of things, like in terms of kind of what's going to be the fate of this company, let's say, like if you're successful and you're growing really rapidly, you know, for us, our vision is not to kind of get bought over by a learning management system as a feature. Like, I truly believe that conversation is central to learning. That's kind of our bet. Mm-hmm. And the reason I believe that is because if you think about the other aspects of learning, like if you think about learning management systems, or if you think about content, which is a big, you know, big, a lot of investment is getting into content, I believe that that's going to get commoditized. Because content is not really, at the end of the day, you will always have high, high quality content. Some people are going to make that and people are going to license that. But majority of the content that's coming today is actually created by people who know about something. Like if you go into a corporate environment, and we work with some of the companies also, where the best content are coming from the employees who have been with the company for 30 years because they know that company, that space, or that engineering, whatever they are into, much more than a vendor who can kind of come in and create a pretty content in like 3 weeks, right? And where you can click a button and create a video, which we can do in our platform and many other platforms can do, that is where the disruption is happening because people are getting smarter, they're getting better at creating content. In our platform, 95% of the content are created by the students. Mm-hmm. And instructors are now amazed. And again, like some of the students are actually creating really high quality content, which is great. This is exactly what we want. So our bet, you know, in our company, that what we are betting on is that content is always, it's towards a part of getting commoditized. You know, there are going to be always high quality, but there could be like a democratization. Like people are going to create content like from all over. So that's going to happen. So learning management systems are always good, but they're all now moving towards learning as opposed to management, because right. that's where the, you know, the need sure. is, right? So building context around that content and systems, the delivery systems, is going to be super important. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be many tools there, right? It's not going to be just Yellow Day, but that is going to be super important. And we think conversations where people like talking about content, like one video I saw on YouTube on, you know, Mark Zuckerberg talking about the future of Facebook is going to be very important. Like, how, where are you going to have that conversation? That's mm-hmm. where we are trying to build. We are building that, you know, platform where you can have those conversations. So to answer your question, like you asked me, like, you know, I think we want to build a platform that goes beyond this learning management system mindset. Mm-hmm. And it goes towards like learning. Like, for example, I joined a program today. I want to start having conversations with my peers, with my other students who have kind of gone through the process a couple of years, you know, years ahead of me, or maybe some alumni today who just kind of found a job where I want to land myself. So I want to have that conversation where I want to know why this program is going to help me find the job I want to find. Yeah. And then I get into a classroom, I want to talk to my peers about what they are excited about and what kind of things they are finding, including my professor. And when I go and maybe like towards, you know, finding a job in my profession, whatever that may be, I want to get connected with people who can actually help me there. So there are so many conversations that needs to happen, that which is not happening today, and that can happen online at like minimal cost. That's kind of the platform we're trying to build.
Interesting. Yeah. What came to mind is, of course, the learning management system, you have to have an account. You're part of the university. And whereas the concept I learned about a number of years ago in terms of open education resources, and even we're a science institution here, open notebook science. It sort of reminds me of that. If you can open it up to the general public and share information, it just has a snowball effect, and it helps to enhance the sharing and building of knowledge.
Yep.
It occurs to me that you know, if you've got one class that where this is really going well, and you have some really unique things that the students are bringing into the conversation, is there any thought to how you would leverage that maybe for future classes? Maybe some hints or some seeds that you can plant that can help to stimulate that in another course, another cohort of students.
It's a great line of thought, and you know, we are starting to work on some of these ideas that you mentioned. Like, you know, like one of the things we know on our platform, like let's say we build one community, we have one community for a course, and we have like 3 months of conversations, we have the data. We can tell out of these discussions, where are those like top 10 content that goes most amount of attention. And not only the attention, we also can kind of really layer in like what are some of the interesting conversation that happened around it. Right, this video got these kind of conversations that happened. And some of those content was shared by the instructor because those were curated content. And some of these were like crowdsourced, right? Mm-hmm. Came from anywhere in the world. I mean, just happened. Maybe something happened that week that right. got picked up, right? So giving that data back to the instructor mm-hmm. so that they can recycle some of that for the next course, because the probability they're going to have higher engagement out of the gate is higher if they leverage some of the conversation that were already were higher in right. engagement, right?
Right?
So we want to kind of move the needle on the probability of higher engagement out of the gate. And then, you know, it can take its own shape. So we are thinking some of those things. And we are, I mean, honestly, what are the challenges? Challenges around FARPA, right? Think about like today, I mean, FARPA, we cannot use the student data from one course to the next course. So there are some very kind of fine line we have to walk, but yeah. it's all worth walking because yeah. we can actually move the needle on the student's success.
I guess you can share the links, but nothing that would be personally identified to the student who picked up that information, because that would, I guess, violate their privacy.
That's right.
Very interesting. Another question I had before I want to be respectful of your time, and I know we're almost out of time, but what's with Yellow Dig? How'd you come up with the name? What does that mean?
I always get that question. You know, it's so, and I do fumble all this. I mean, you know, for whatever reason. So the name Yellow Dig, you know, when I started the company, of course, you know, these thoughts were there in a very pre-form. You know, we didn't have a product that time. We knew what we wanted to build. So the color yellow stands for, every color is a color psychology. And the color yellow stands for cheerfulness, fun, creativity, left brain, right brain interaction, building links, all those kind of meanings, which actually was quite meaningful for me. Because what I thought that if you were building a product in the space, it got to be something that excites our learners. And it's almost like, you know, I saw something I wasn't expecting. And I talked to somebody I would not be otherwise speaking with, and I learned something out of it. There's something like, there's a creativity aspect to it. So that is what the color yellow stands for.
Interesting.
And the dig is what you said, something where if you build a community and you help people kind of share information with one another, very soon you see things that you're going deeper than the initial levels. And you collectively, deepen your understanding and you kind of ask questions, learn from each other. So that's a digging part. Like, take a community and, go deep. So Yellow Dig came from there. And and we stuck with the name.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I never occurred to me that yellow was connected the way you said. Yellow is, if somebody asked me my favorite color, is it blue or red? But now yellow is going to be much more meaningful to me.
It's like, the bright sunshine.
Sunshine,
something like that.
Well, listen, I'm sure you've heard of the phrase death by PowerPoint. And lately I've heard death by discussion board for these, these old-fashioned discussion boards. So it seems like your company is really, really ramping up the usability and then the functionality of discussion boards. So anyway, it sounds like a very interesting product and company. I certainly wish you the best. And thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for the invitation. I truly enjoy talking to you.
Great.
To the audience, just check out our website. It's called yellowdig.com, the color yellow, DIG.com. And my name is Shaunak Roy. You can find me in LinkedIn. If you have any questions, want to reach out to me, feel free to do that.
Very well. I'm sure I'll have all the links on my show notes. So thanks again.
Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview. I'll certainly have links to the Yellowdig website on my show notes. So stay tuned for Ipanema Daydreams by Bird Creek. Until next time, have a great week.
Today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.